yes, Edwyn Collins and A Girl Like You. And now we come to the moment that I've been waiting for months. Myself and Dave, who is the bass player with the George Harrison Project, have kind of been talking about this on and off for a little while now, and I've been really looking forward to it. They're all here now in the studio. It's the George Harrison Project. Now, they're a live music celebration showcasing George Harrison's best loved hits from his early Beatles songs, his solo career, and of course the Travelling Wilburys. So I'm pleased to introduce you to them now. It's Gary Kenton on lead vocals, rhythm guitar and ukulele. Hi Gary.
Hi Bob.
And Alan Gifford on drums and percussion.
Hi Bob.
Yeah, they always put you in the corner.
Always.
Oh. And Dave Shallow on bass guitar. Hi Dave.
Hi Bob.
And Al Jenkins, or AJ, on lead guitar and ukulele. Hi, AJ. Hi, mate.
Right there,
you do have another member who's missing today, unfortunately.
It's Chris Savage.
Chris Savage. Tell us a little bit about Chris.
Well, he's a fab keyboard player. He plays with all sorts of people, and he's decided to come and join us because he just loves what we do.
He does. He's been the keyboard player with Mudd for 39 years.
Oh, wow.
He's done a few Slade as well.
Wow, yeah. top draw. Good man.
So well, we thought he'd rough it for a while and come to us.
Well, it's really great to have you here in the studio today. We're going to have a good old chat later on, but you're going to start off and play some songs for us, and I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. So for the next, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it takes, it's all yours, guys.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'd like to do an introduction on this one. This was the first song that we heard George on record for on the first Beatles album. He didn't write it, John and Paul wrote it, but this one's called Do You Want to Know a Secret?
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care.
Thank you. Okay, second one. We're going to second one of three for this first bit. This one's off of George's first solo album, and this one's called All Things Must Pass.
Climb
Thank you very much. And the third one we're going to do for you now, this one's from the Beatles' second film. This is a great song of George's. This one's called I Need You.
Fantastic. Sounding absolutely amazing, you guys. And that's parting credit to Dave Shallow, who's mixing the sound today for us. He's relieved me of that job, and I'm very glad because he's a proper professional. And I end up with the vocals too loud whenever I try and mix a band that comes in here. You've done a really good job of that. So thank you for that. Some of my favourite songs in there. Absolutely love All Things Must Pass. And I Need You. Well, they're all good, aren't they? Let's face it. Absolutely. So now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I love asking these questions to bands, because what you see is a lot of furtive eyes all looking between each other. So, who's the leader of the band?
Sadly, he can't be here today.
Oh, right.
He's left.
He's the best cop out.
Well, it's a democracy.
Okay, fair enough, yeah. A bit like the Beatles then, really.
Yeah, very much, yeah. Yeah, yeah. All, you know, four votes.
Okay, all right. Well, let's start with you, Gary, anyway. Okay. And taking this from your website, it says, Gary was practically born with a guitar around his neck.
Apparently so.
Whoa, God, poor mum, anyway. But you've been at the music game for a very long time, haven't you? You started at a young age when you were about 10.
That's right, yeah. I entered a junior school talent contest with my then band. It was my first little band.
Right.
That me and a schoolmate, we kind of organised and formed.
Yeah.
And funny enough, we're still working together now. He lives in America, but we're still writing songs and sending stuff across. So
okay.
It's really quite nice. So yeah, that was my.
And you write and release your own music as well, really?
Yeah, I do write. I've had a couple of songs released, but I've been writing since 10 as well. So yeah, quite a long time.
Wow.
15 years at least.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well. And AJ, you started playing the guitar at the age of 12, apparently.
I did.
You did.
I did. I'll get the hang of it one day.
Well, no.
I wanted an acoustic, and, you know, as every 12-year-old child is, my dad went, oh, yeah, how long's that going to last?
Right.
And
it still lasted.
I mean, after about 6 weeks, I'd learnt a couple of chords, so I thought I was going to be a guitar hero, you see.
Right.
Asked for an electric guitar, and he said, right, we'll learn something off of here, which was the 20 Golden Grapes Shadows.
Okay.
About 2-3 months later, he came in and I said to him, I've learnt one. So he said, which one? I said, any of them. I learnt a lot.
Wow.
So, I mean, they were all terrible, but it got me an electric guitar, and that's the main point of the
thing. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, so, and you're still at it today, and you've been a huge fan of the Beatles forever.
Absolutely,
Just like me.
I mean, it was difficult in the early days because there was no tablature about, no guitar chords. You had to work it all out for yourself.
Yeah.
Now you can go on the internet and find the course to everything.
Absolutely, but
I don't know if that's
actually
a good thing or bad.
It was the Beatles Complete book, the guitar book. That's how I learnt chords, was from that. So
the trouble is, it was written for piano.
It was all in wrong key. But,
that's it.
You know, but that's kind of how you learnt those basic chords through Beatles songs.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
amazing. That's how it all started.
Well, I tried. I tried for a long, long time, and all I got was sore fingers, and I gave up. So, and then there's Dave. If you just come to that mic, Dave. Now, you're classically trained to the degree level.
I am, yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
So have you always sort of been on this road of being musical, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Ever since I was at school, had piano lessons and hated those, like everybody else does at that age. Gave up as soon as I possibly could, but then discovered the guitar and just kind of fell in love with that and didn't look back. Yeah. And that's actually what I studied at college. I studied classical guitar at college, music college.
You're proper musicians, you lot, aren't you? And we'll come to Alan as well, an experienced drummer and percussionist. Alan has been performing a wide variety of live music, again, since the age of 11, Alan.
Yes, that's right. Orchestral, actually. I was a percussionist in an orchestra.
Right.
From that age, yeah.
Wow, okay. So who got you into that? Was it your parents? Or?
Yeah, my parents were very supportive of us playing music. I have two sisters and the whole family are very musical. So I grew up in a musical household and was encouraged to play whatever instrument. So before picking up the drums, I played the guitar and the clarinet and the violin and the recorder and the piano. And then my parents, and then I wanted a drum kit.
Yeah.
At which point my parents said, well, if you pass your grade one piano, then we'll buy you a drum kit. And there is a message in motivation, because I worked and practiced and worked and practiced and passed my grade one piano, and then I got my drum kit.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, excellent. And I suppose we should mention a very important member of the band, your technical manager, Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
He holds you all together, does he?
He does indeed.
Well,
Sorry, you can't be here.
That's it. So, go on.
I was going to say, he did mention yesterday that this was the ideal output for us because we've all got faces for radio.
Oh, you're a fine bunch of gentlemen. So, to a sort of vital question, really, why George Harrison?
Gary
and I have been talking for some time about playing some music together because we've known each other for many years and played off and on, but not together frequently. And we were looking to start up a project, and we were trying to work out what it should be. And we would speak regularly and come up with lots of different ideas and suggestions, but we didn't want to be a Me Too, because there's lots of other acts and tributes that pay tribute to certain artists. Yeah. There's lots of covers bands and function bands, etc.
Yeah.
But one day, Bob, I was decorating, and while I was listening to the radio, a George Harrison song came on. About 2 or 3 hours later, another George Harrison song came on, and this happened for about 2 or 3 days. And when I sat down and looked around the internet, there wasn't a George Harrison tribute act that I could find.
Oh, I've never heard of one until
so
you guys.
So I had a chat with Gary and said, what about this? And immediately he said, brilliant.
Yeah.
We sat down and we worked out some strategies and what we needed in terms of resources and instruments and whatever, and it went from there.
And I think really, as I say, from my own personal experience, because I put the set list together, I think I was very familiar with a lot of George's work, but it gave me a new appreciation of some of the songs that he'd written, because I think he really was a bit of an unsung hero, certainly in the Beatles.
I agree. I was going to come on to that. I mean, the song, I don't know if you cover this one, but I Want to Tell You.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Now, that goes to places where you don't expect it to, doesn't it? Is it hard to sort of play that as a musician?
All of his stuff is actually quite hard.
Really?
If you look at a classic song like Here Comes the Sun, there's bits in it that really are quite difficult. And every musician that's played with us has said exactly the same thing.
Really?
God, these are hard, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they are. They're not simple songs. Although they sound very simple, they're very melodic. But actually, from a musical structure, they're actually quite difficult.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of that came from his first music teacher, was a jazz player.
Okay.
So he taught him loads and loads of jazz chords, which weren't really popular at the time.
No.
So when he went into playing in rock and roll band, he learned the other chords by then, obviously.
Yeah.
But then in later life, he was putting all the jazz chords in. Like the one we've just played, the six.
Okay.
So he was adding chords like that into the Beatles songs, and incorporating them in and giving them their own special sound.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I can't pretend to be a musical expert at all, but apparently George invented the chord for that song.
He
I
did.
Want to tell you.
Yeah.
An E seventh with an F on top. Oh wow! Right. Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. Well, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. I think maybe we'll hear one of your studio recorded tracks.
Yes.
How about that? I've got one that you had a great hit with in the late 80s, I think it was. Got My Mind Set on You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give that a go. This is the George Harrison Project and Got My Mind Set on You.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set. I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set on you. But it's gonna take a money, a whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child. It's gonna take a time, a whole lot of precious time. I got my mind set on you. 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 This time I know it's for real. The feelings that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it. I got my mind set on you, set on you. I got my mind set on you, set on you. But it's gonna take a money, a whole lot of spending money. It's gonna take plenty of money to do it right, child.
gonna take a time, a whole lot of precious time. It's gonna take a patient some time.
To do it right.
Harrison Project and Got My Mind Set on You. And if you'd like to see the George Harrison Project, I'll just give you a list of their next few gigs. On May the 28th, they'll be at Bishop Stalford's South Mill Arts Centre. June the 25th, Aylesbury Waterside Theatre. And July the 7th, Bungay the Fisher Theatre. Now, chaps, we were just talking off air about George Harrison himself, and that he was a bit of an unsung hero of the Beatles, wasn't he? His contributions weren't always fully sort of appreciated or recognised by the fans, I don't think.
Absolutely, yeah.
You were telling us a story about how much time he had to prepare for playing his part of the songs. Tell us what you were saying. Yeah.
Paul and George used to bring a song to the studio that they'd written and then just expect to record it that day, finish it. I mean, it's different nowadays. We took forever to record ours. So, you know. But in them days, you know, they used to bring the song in, show it to him, play it to him a couple of times, and then say, "Could you put a solo over it?"
Right.
I mean, if you think of All My Loving, solo on that.
Yeah.
It's a complicated piece of Chet Atkins type solo, and he came up with that within about an hour.
Amazing.
And Paul McCartney was also saying he brought "And I Love Her" into the studio.
Yeah.
As a love song, asked George to do a riff for it, and George did the riff over the top of it. And Paul said, "I was a bit peeved because that is the song."
It makes the whole song, doesn't it?
And
it's beautiful.
And as I say, from a writing perspective, apparently he sort of even, you know, contributed a few lines of Eleanor Rigby when Paul was writing it and never got the credit for it.
Really?
But like I say, I think he was the first Beatle, ex Beatle, to have a number one record.
Yeah, he did all right, didn't he?
He did very well.
He came back in.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to read, at the risk of embarrassing you, I'm going to read a few of the reviews that you've had. The only trouble is they're eluding me at the moment. Here we go. Now, a fantastically nostalgic evening, performed with great skill. Our full house loved it. Now, that was Dave King from the Headgate Theatre, Colchester. Strictly speaking, I'm more of a Beatles fan than a George Harrison follower, so I was sceptical at first, but after the first 10 minutes of this professional performance, I was no longer in doubt. How about that, eh? Debbie Cottrell said, "We came to watch you tonight in Malden and we had a fantastic evening. Particularly loved Don't Bother Me, which is rarely heard. Would have liked to have heard Within You Without You, if you could squeeze it in. We'll be getting the early bird tickets for next year. Gear fab." So, who's going to learn the sitar then?
That's a good question. You can actually get a guitar. What's it called? A guitar or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe, you know, might have to go that way. But we already do A song called When We Was Fab that's got Sitter.
Yeah, single.
And we sort of sling that. We gave that to the keyboard player and said, actually, that's down to you.
Yeah.
We'll stand back and watch.
We're busy enough. But I think, you know.
Well, you're sounding brilliant today. And I mentioned your gig in Bishop Stalford on May the 28th. You're running a competition for that, aren't you? Would you like to tell us about it?
Yeah, what we're going to do, I think, we're going to give a question out on air today. And what we'd like to do is everybody that knows the answer, they can go onto our Facebook page, the George Harrison Project, leave the answer there.
Right.
And then what we're going to do, we're going to stick everybody in a hat and we're going to pull somebody out. And there's two tickets going, I think, isn't there, for the South
Bishop
Mills
Stalford,
Art in Bishop Stalford.
Wonderful.
So the question is, what was George Harrison's first number one single after leaving the Beatles?
Ah, okay. With motorcycle accompaniment out the window studio there. Okay, well, I think I know the answer to that, but I'm not allowed to take part, unfortunately, so there we are. Right, would you like to play some more songs?
We'll do.
Yeah, okay, over to you. Again, I'm going to sit back and just enjoy.
Okay, this one was from the Abbey Road album, and this one is, one of the two real big numbers that George had on the... on the actual album itself. This one's called Here Comes the Sun.
Here comes the sun, doo-doo-doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Fantastic. Okay, we're going to hand you over now to Al, our drummer, who's going to sing this Travelling Wilburys track. This one's called Handle With Care.
Been beat up and bad ground. Been sent up and I've been shut down.
Situations changeable. Situations tolerable. Baby, you're adorable. Handle me with care.
I'm so tired of being lonely. I still have some love to give. Won't you show me?
Thank you very much. I think Al wants a quick guitar change. We're going to do one from the Rubber Soul album now. This one featured George on 12 strings. That's what Al's just swapping over now live in the studio. And this one's called If I Needed Someone.
If I needed someone to love, you're the one that I'll be thinking of. If I needed someone, if I had some more time to spend, then I guess I'd be with you, my friend. If I needed someone,
had you come some other day, and it might not have been like this. But you see now I'm too much in love.
Carve your number on my wall, and maybe you will get a call from me. If I needed someone, ah, ah, ah,
Thank you very much indeed. Absolutely fantastic, sounding really good. I've had a couple of messages through from people saying Spencer messaged in and my phone's not cooperating. Now, here we go. Band are sounding great. And then we heard from Paul a little bit earlier on. GHP, George Harrison Project, sounding very good. So well done.
Thank you.
You're doing really well. It's excellent. Now, do you need a roadie? Because you're going to do something really exciting in July, aren't you? I wish I could come, but there you go, I won't be able to. Tell us all about it.
Okay, how do you want to take that one?
We received contact from a guy in America, and he's the chap that now owns George Harrison's childhood home in Speke in Liverpool. And he contacted us. He won it through a public auction earlier this year. He's running it as an Airbnb. And so people can go and stay in George's family home. He's got a guitar in there with a case, so you can pose for the classic photo outside the front garden. And he invited us to go up to the house and record some tracks there acoustically inside George Harrison's family home.
Fantastic. Are you going to be staying there, or just visiting?
We are, yeah.
We're staying there as well. We've got the house for 3 days.
Wow.
We're all fighting over sleeping in George's rooms.
Take turns.
So that's quite exciting. Yeah, and we've managed to tie in with a show up there as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, cool.
Well, two gigs because we're playing in Grantham the night before
Friday. Then we're in Runcorn on the Saturday, and then we'll be in the house then from Sunday.
Yeah, it's really taking off, isn't it? You're going further and further afield all the time.
It's quite encouraging this early on because, as I say, we're only sort of 4 or 5 shows in at the moment, so it's really, really nice that people are supporting us. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's all down to George, of course.
It is, of course.
Because without his music, his songs, and his love, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. Well, you're speaking for him, kind of, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, that's exactly.
Wonderful. Now, I notice on your website, a couple of you play the ukulele.
That's right.
It's myself and Al.
One of George's favourite instruments. We've heard tales about him having bootfuls of them when he drove about and giving them out to people. And so did you take up the ukulele before this project, or is it something you've started on?
Well, for myself, and obviously Al will give you his side of it, I mean, I was kind of inspired to take the ukulele up because for many years, certainly with guitar players, it really wasn't regarded with any credibility at all.
No.
But now guitar shops are absolutely full of them. There's only walls of them.
Absolutely.
But I saw the concert for George, in actual fact, and Joe Brown closed the show with "I'll See You in My Dreams."
Brought a tear to my eye, that did.
Yeah. We do that.
Yeah.
And I thought, and I saw him do it live as well. I went to one of his live shows and saw him do it. Yeah. And I thought, I've got to learn to play that song with the uke. And that's what actually inspired me to go out and buy one and learn it. Not an easy tune to actually play, but again, that's kind of what inspired me to do it. And Al, I think you've been playing for quite a time.
Yeah, I mean, we're going back to school, really, because when I left, my music teacher left me a horrible review, if you like, saying that there was no way I would ever have anything to do with music again in my life.
Oh, no.
So I thought, right, well, I'm going to learn a different instrument every month.
Okay.
And it just so happened about 2 years later, I saw a ukulele banjo, a bit like, what's his name?
George Formby.
George Formby. It's not quite. But in an antique shop. So I thought, I'll have to come buy it. So I picked one of those up. It's a 1927 Keach. And it's really worn, it's lovely, and I just started to try and play that. And you think of all the history. It's made in 1927. It's been through, World War II, and I'm sure it got taken there, to the war. And it's lovely to be playing that. But we want to incorporate quite a bit of ukulele stuff into the sets. And we do one of our tracks, George's tracks, that isn't played on uke. We do play it. I'm not going to say what it is because that'll give it away.
All right.
But we do, we do that one on uke. Just because he would have liked it, and I think he would have enjoyed that.
Well, I think, in actual fact, George actually taught Joe Brown to play it. He actually suggested
it. Oh, really?
I think that's how it ended up in concert for George, so I understand. But so we do that one, and we do also Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, which is an old standard. That was on George's final album.
I know. That's my favourite, I think. I mean, that was a great album, posthumously released, obviously.
Was,
finished
exactly,
off by Jeff Lynne and Danny Harrison, wasn't it? And I don't think you could ever beat All Things Must Pass, but I think that could be my second favourite George album.
Yeah,
but you've got to give a lot of credit for Danny as well for the remixing of his All Things Must Pass. My God, he's done such a fantastic job on that.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible. He got a Grammy Award from it. Yeah,
and rightly so.
Yeah, isn't it a pity? I think one of the takes from the album actually won an Independent Music Award as well this year. So it's still very current.
Yeah.
And as I say, hopefully he's now being recognised for the talent that he really was. I just think he's under the shadow of Lennon McCartney.
Yeah. Absolutely, Well,
he developed and, as I say, he's fantastic.
Well, you're very obviously fans. We're going to take a short break. I've got to pay some bills and then we'll come back and we'll play your studio version of... one of George's biggest and most magnificent compositions, all right? Right, back soon. It's Bob Simpson on 1-2-3, and what a fantastic afternoon it's been with the George Harrison Project. I'll be chatting to them briefly again after this, but this is their studio recording of George Harrison's Something. Well, they don't come better than that, do they? That's the George Harrison Project and George Harrison's Something from Abbey Road. Honestly, guys, thank you so much for coming in. Your performance today was one of the best I've ever heard here on Phoenix, and it's been a real pleasure, so thank you. Now, just to repeat your gigs again, coming up May the 28th, you're at Bishop Stortford at the South Mills Arts Centre. June the 25th, Aylesbury Waterside Theatre. And July the 7th, the Bungay Fisher Theatre. And for the rest of the year, you're travelling all over the place. Grantham, Wimborne, Hunstanton, Stowmarket, Great Yarmouth, Leeston, Kelvedon, Colchester, Tring, Witham, Thetford, Peterborough, Sudbury. You're going to be very busy this year. If anyone wants to look up and find all the detail of that, where can they go to have a look?
Well, they can go to the website, which is www.thegeorgeharrisonproject.com. And also, we've got a very active Facebook page, which I look after.
Oh, good.
So, again, we're on Facebook, the George Harrison Project. Just put that in your search system at the front.
Yeah.
That will come up. And please follow us, because then we can keep you up to date with all what's going on, all what we're doing, and all the shows we've got coming up as well. You can book the tickets through the page there as well, in most cases.
Yeah. Well, I can see attendance is going through the roof here. It's really, certainly... Yeah, I'd love to come and see you live on stage. And so when are you coming to Brentwood or Billericay or somewhere local? Yeah, it's in the pipeline, shall
we're
we say?
We're working in the pipeline, yeah.
All right,
good. We had this space.
Good lads.
We were due to play, 2 years ago? November 2 years ago, and then we played this year. I'm getting confused where we are, but yeah, this year. The previous year in November, for the first time in Kelvedon. We're doing an anniversary, if you like, year's anniversary show there in November.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably the next closer one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
At Kelvedon.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll get along there. Anyway, thank you once again. Honestly, I'm really overwhelmed. It's been a really nice afternoon, thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm sure our listeners have too.
Oh, we
so
have.
Thank you very much indeed, and we'll see you again maybe.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Bob.
Cheers. Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye now.